I hope that everybody will remember Mary on Wednesday, as she's having an operation, and I hope it helps. And I hope that you pray for Don, too. They are going through some real horrible pains. I was watching television the other day, and I saw a woman that was taken off of an airplane because when she was on the plane, she was preaching to the people. She said, "Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I want to talk to you about God." And then she started preaching about how wonderful Jesus was. Whenever she finished that, nobody said a word. And when they got ready to depart the plane, they escorted her off and told her that she could never fly on that plane again. I disagreed with the woman, but I disagreed with how people do not want to hear about Jesus. And the world is that way today. I hear people say, "I don't believe in God because he is so mean." Whether he's mean or not, he is God. And so I want to go back. I had kind of preached this before, but I want to preach it again in a different way. And that is how to have a true foundation. In Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." The most loved verse in all the Bible is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." It's the most popular because it gives people a hope. It gives people something to believe in. And it gives them an idea that they can attain salvation because Jesus died for all. But the most read verse in all the Bible is Genesis 1:1. And the reason it's read is because more people want to read this because they've said, "Let's see what the book is about." And they start at the starting place. And that starting place is the starting place before we can even have discussions with other people. I think we spend a lot of time trying to shout the gospel into people instead of getting permission from them to let us speak and show why we believe God is God. And if they do not believe that there's a God, there really is no reason for us to have a discussion unless they want to discuss the, what did we say this morning, the evidence. Unless they want to discover the evidence that we have or that they have. This is a foundational truth that in the beginning God. So it's foundational in every way because everything else is built upon this one passage. There is no use to talk about Jesus. There's no use to talk about miracles. There's no use to talk about any of this unless we come to an agreement that there is a God. And if there is no agreement that there is a God, we are wasting our time and our efforts to try to convince people that there is a God. If you don't want to believe in God, you're not going to believe in God. So if you want to understand truth, you've got to enter into the temple of truth. And when I say the temple of truth, I am saying that we approach this in a very reverent way. That I want no more than nothing else than the truth. I want God to give me the truth. I want to know the truth. And it's going to start on this proposition. It's in the temple of truth. The key is at the front door. And that front door is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In Genesis 1:1, And when we come to Genesis 1:1, we come with a teacup to an ocean of truth. Because this is going to determine whether the Bible is the Word of God or whether it is not. If it's not the Word of God, then it's a foolish book. I hear people all the time, even in other religions, say Jesus was a great teacher. The truth is, if the Bible is not the Word of God, Jesus was a liar. And we have to decide whether he was a liar or whether he was telling the truth. When people don't understand that, they're so mistaken. So I want you to notice, first of all, that he is a God who is simply presented. In all of philosophy, really there's only one great question, and I want us to get this question. Did God make man, or did man make God? Everything else is going to come from that. The answer to that is going to tell us where an individual is in their life and where we can go with it. Everything else just flows out of that. And it's according to that particular verse that we get the answer. What you see in this one verse, first of all, is a God who is simply presented. And when I say he is simply presented, I mean he is not argued. They do not make any argument in the Bible that there is a God. They just simply make the statement, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And so the Bible writers said, we're not going to argue whether there's an existence of God or not. We're going to start on the assumption and on the reality that there is a God. And that people will either accept that, and that's where faith begins in the religion of Christ, or it does not begin at all. God is not explained. Somebody asked me one time if I could explain God, and I said, if I could explain God, I would be God. It's impossible to explain God. We only learn things about God, but we cannot explain God, except we know that there is a supreme being. God is not defended. God is simply presented. In the beginning, God. Now that's a powerful statement. If you don't get that in the beginning, if you don't believe that in the beginning, there is no use to discuss anything else. The Bible means nothing if that's not a true statement. It might surprise you to know that the Bible writers never tried to prove the existence of God. And whenever I hear people say, you know what, I don't believe in God because he's a mean God, then I say, well, at least you believe that there is a God. So there is a point that we can start with. But if they do not believe that there is a God, there is no point to start with at all. And so we need to remember that as we get into discussions with people. If you try to prove the existence of God, you're trying to do something that the Bible never does. It never tries to prove the existence of God. It just shows that there is a God. And the Bible has all that you need and I need for faith. When you talk to somebody, we need to recognize that the Bible is full and complete. I hear some people say there's a lot of mistakes in the Bible. I will say that there's a lot of alleged mistakes in the Bible. There is not one mistake in the Bible, and when I say that, I'm not talking about a translation. I'm talking about the original Word of God, that we can look at the words and find out, is that the truth? And we can look it up. God is simply presented. And God must be accepted by faith. This is where faith starts. I know we read this morning, and by the way, this is going right along with John's lesson this morning. But this is where faith begins. That we believe that God created this heaven and earth. And in that one verse is where man starts upon faith. God must be accepted by faith. You cannot prove that God exists. I want people to really get that in their minds. Opponents cannot prove that he does not exist, though. So if we were going to start with an argument, if we were going to say, what kind of evidences do you have? I would first ask them if they could present their evidence that there is not a God. And if they have nothing to present, then we can start with what I'm going to show. I want you to notice that both parties are arguing from faith. One believes that there is a God. The other does not believe that there is a God. But both of them have faith that they are right. Rational human beings argue from evidence. And that's so you cannot prove that Abraham Lincoln lived. But you can prove it to yourself in the evidence that you discover. It's true of George Washington, it's true of anything. In fact, I do not believe that you can prove that you exist. Because if you're arguing with somebody that can't see you, you can't prove that you exist. So we deal with people that do not use common sense, and somebody that doesn't have common sense, we get into senseless things. The first evidence that I would present would be that there is a universe that exists that you can observe. I don't think we spend enough time looking at things about us. They have great telescopes that study the stars and the constellations as they move around. And they are amazed at the precision by which it works. Whenever you go out, and as I remember when I was a boy, going out and I discovered a worm, put the worm in my pocket, and I had discovered something, and I wondered where that worm came from, and I came to the conclusion that God must have made it. And then I got aggravated with God because I discovered the mosquito, and I knew where it came from too. But I discovered that there is a universe about me, and I could see the sunset, I could see the sunrise, and I stood amazed every day when I was a child. We get so used to these things that we just accept that that's the way it is. What if it didn't come up tomorrow? What if it didn't set tomorrow night? And so you stand amazed at the things that are around you, the trees and all of these things, and God points out that what we see is not made out of what we do see. When you have consistent design, what does that demand? It demands that there be a designer. You don't have perfect design without that. And we could go on all day about the design that's about us. As I said to John one time, you see that philodendron, then over there's another philodendron, and they are all have a design. You can tell what it is. And have you ever thought if atheism was true, that we would still have people coming from apes? But it's not true. And explaining morality. People say, I don't believe in God, but I believe there's a right and a wrong. Where did we get that idea? Where do we get an idea that something is right and wrong? Adolf Hitler killed 6 million people. Stalin killed even more. And we say, that's wrong. Why? Why is it wrong? There has to be a reason. There has to be a standard. Something that says that is wrong and you know it in your conscience. Where does that come from? And this sense of ought, I ought to have done this and I ought not to have done that. Where does that come from? Because we have to look at ourselves that we are designed. God asked Job a great question in the Old Testament. We need to ask ourselves this question whenever we get ready to judge God. And that's what we do. We judge God. Oh, he's bad, he's good, he's all. We're not the judge of that. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, tell me, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? That's a good question, isn't it? That's a brilliant question. What he's saying is, you weren't around when I did this. And so there's no way for you to examine it. Man is trying to examine all of this and say, this is how it happened, and this many millions of years ago. You can't explain it. You can't possibly know it unless you were there. And God says, you didn't even exist when I did this. Nothing plus nobody equals everything is the creed of the scientists. Does that make sense? Or is that nonsense? We in the country, America, is losing its sense of common sense. They don't have any common sense. We are seeing it every day, and this country is going further and further and further away from God every day. There used to be what was called morality in the country, and they at least attributed that to God. Now, there is no morality. There is nothing wrong except the things that they think is wrong. It's not right for you to steal from them, but it's all right from them to steal from you. For God's sake, we have lost. We are insane today. To look for scientific proof of God would be like taking a piano and pulling it apart and looking for a song in it. It's not there. We make beautiful music out of a piano, but you can tear that piano apart. It doesn't have any music in it. And that's what we try to do with the world. We take all this apart, and as they said whenever they tried to go to the moon the first time, we didn't see God anywhere. That was what a Russian fellow said. And by the way, that's where communism goes. They have to ruin God. In Psalm 14:1, it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. When the Bible uses the word fool here, it does not mean the man who is mentally deficient. It means it's a man who is morally deficient. He does not have any moral guidance at all. He is the one that is the God of himself, and he determines right and wrong, but he will not live by any rules that are moral. And that's what's happened in this country. And I'm afraid to say that that is what has happened in many of the churches today. They are preaching about God, but they don't believe in God. They do not believe that God really created all of this. How do they get that way? How does a person get to the point that they do not believe that there's a God? Romans 1:22, professing to be wise, they became fools. In other words, I don't want morality. I don't want any rules. I don't want these things governing me. And therefore, I'm going to put the one that gave the rules out of the way. Can you believe that? Can you really believe that people do that? In Romans 1:28, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are unseemly. God doesn't force you to believe. God says, I want you to look at yourself. I want you to recognize. I want you to see the depravity and how far down you've come. The only reason you're existing is so that you can come to repentance and find God. But we have a God who is sovereignly powerful. In the beginning, God did what? He created the world. Now, I know that we say that man creates things, but man does not create anything. Man uses things that are made to make things, but man does not create anything. God is seen through creation. All you have to do is look at the order of things around you, and you have to come up with the idea there is a supreme being or supreme beings, but I can find out when I look, and I need to examine, is it really true that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth? In Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what he has been made, so that they are without excuse. John used an automobile this morning. Just a bunch of junk laying around, and all of a sudden it's made into a car. And we know that's foolishness. What he is saying here is he says, look around you. You parents, take those children and guide them as to where this all came from. If you don't teach a child where it all came from, they will question it, but they may never come to the right thing because they're being educated in the wrong way. Education comes by understanding the Word of God. And when you understand the Word of God, you're going to make a decision, is it true or is it not true? Only God has creator power. Only God has originating power. It all comes from him. The Hebrew word for create is bara, and it's used about 50 times, and it means to make something out of absolute nothing. Now, I want you to see the impossibility of that. You can't make something out of absolutely nothing. And yet God says, that's exactly how I started things. Do you believe it? That's hard to believe. So I have to go through and start examining the scriptures to see whether the rest of the scriptures are true. And as I get through here, I find out that there is man. Where did he come from? Well, God's taking the credit for that. Where did the animals come from? Well, God's taking the credit for that. Where did all these little things come from? God's taking the credit for that. But even deeper than that, where does this love that's in our heart for somebody come from? Can you explain that? Can anybody explain what love is? Oh, I know it's a benevolent attitude towards others. But did you ever get that feeling inside of you that, boy, that Angela, John says, that's the woman for me. And he put a bunch of rocks out there and said, will you marry me? Where did he get that inside of him? Where does a woman like Monica say, I want that little bitty fella to be my husband? I'm serious. Where do we get that? I was thinking the other day about Mary. You know what I love about her? She thinks. She doesn't agree with everything I say. And that's why I love arguing with her. I mean, I seriously, some people I will not argue with because they make no sense. I will argue with her. In Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God. So what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. In other words, God said, I made it out of nothing. And there is your something. All we do is take what God has created and we use it and form it into different things. The God who makes something out of nothing is the only one that can. Man cannot create anything and man cannot destroy anything. All man can do is change the form. That's all man can do. People talk about the laws of nature. Listen to me carefully here about the laws of nature that has become the mother god of people. There are no laws of nature. I want you to get that in your mind. There are no laws of nature. There are God's laws that nature obeys. And God can change that at any time he wants. And he can supersede it with what's called a miracle, if he wants. Science simply discovers these laws. And they think they've discovered something wonderful. They discover the laws, but they don't discover the one that has made the laws. Science does not create those laws any more than Columbus created North America because he discovered it. And I realize others discovered it in America first, but he got the credit. He got the credit, and he didn't discover it. He discovered it, but he did not make it. You see, in the beginning, God made something of nothing. God stepped from behind the curtain of nowhere and stood upon the platform of nothing and spoke the world into existence. That's power. You can't get any more powerful than that. A tiny cell, one cell, just one cell in the human body, is so incredibly wonderful that just one cell, and there are 100 trillion cells or more in your body. Can you think of that? 100 trillion cells, as I look at Dion, he's got. That's amazing. And each of those cells are separate. Paul Doty of Harvard University said that one human cell, just one of them, is more complicated in its existence than all of New York City. Do you grasp that? One cell more complicated than all of New York City. That's amazing. And we say it just happened. Much smaller than the cell is the atom. And there's a world inside of an atom. A billion hydrogen atoms put side by side, a are not as big as that Bible that I have here, page in that Bible. Not as big. That little old page. It's smaller. I read not long ago that if you were to take all the emptiness, now I want you to get this. This is complicated. This is getting deep. If you take all of the emptiness out of everything on this earth, you could put the entire earth and its remains in a 2-gallon bucket. In other words, there is a lot of nothing even in us. Emptiness. And yet we've got something here. So it's incredible. You think of smallness, the intricacy of God, what God made. And God made it out of nothing. I'm going to have to go quick because my time's up. But light travels at 186,282 miles. Can anybody here explain what light is? I know you can explain what light does, but can you explain what light is? And the answer is no, you can't. We just know that the absence of light, there's darkness. The Bible says that God, Christ, lights every man that comes into the world. That's whether knowledge or whether you can see or whether you can feel the sunshine. So, let me end it this way. I had too much. His purpose. God made everything for his pleasure. That's first. God enjoys what he made. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So we see that God is pleased with his creation. And did you notice what he said after he made man? It was very good. Very good because we came into it. He did it to please himself. And God made everything for his praise. For him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So everything is here so that we can praise him. And God made everything for his people. So you and I have a place to live. A race. Place to sleep. Place to eat. Do you ever notice that the world has the only place that there's sufficient oxygen for us to live that we know of? He made it for us as a home. And he said it was good. But the main reason this is made for Jesus Christ. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him, for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Without Jesus Christ, we do not exist. The world does not exist. So it's all up to him. Now I've said all this to say this. If you're not a Christian, you are lost. And I'm going to say this. God didn't make you just for this world. He made you for eternity and wants you to spend eternity in his presence. but you're going to have to give yourself to him. You know, when you love God, it's not hard to say, God, I want you to have me, and I want to have you. It's a little like when you get married. I want to have you, and I want you to have me. You are the love of my life. And when you have that with God, nothing will stop you from being baptized when you really accept it. Won't you come while together we stand and sing?